Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
This is it. This is where you finally have the rubber meet in the road.
Yeah.
As they say,
it's metal meet in the meat.
Metal meet in the meat.
Nut cutting time.
Nut cutting time.
That's right.
And you know what? Taking care of the Nationals the way they did last night, and Acuna hitting another home run. I mean, things couldn't be much better. What would be better if they got Lindor back for this particular series? We'll see.
Yeah.
We did get some news yesterday that Christian Scott's going to undergo Tommy John surgery, so he'll be gone for the 2025 season. But
that sucks.
You know, when I think about what's going on right now with the Mets, and like Nimmo gets involved last night, you know, all guys are starting to pick it up a little bit. And maybe that meeting had something to do with it. This team likes team meetings. And there have been 2 team meetings this year. And after both team meetings, the team has come out and played well. And I was thinking about this because they were 11 games under 500 on May 28th of this season.
Mm.
And we were all sitting here like, this is it. Trade Pete Alonso. What's going to happen?
I certainly was. We all were done with them.
The entire station was. Come on.
Well, everybody knows.
But I just kind of Jerry.
Feel.
No, Jerry, because the Jerry thought that they were going to, you know, get to over 500,
yeah.
And it's turned out to be they're 84-68 right now, which is really amazing when you think about it. So they've played their way into contention. You know, if the playoffs started today, they would start at San Diego. It would be 3 games in San Diego on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of October.
You sure about that?
Yes. They would be the 4th seed, and San Diego would be the 5th seed.
Oh, if they got the 4th seed. You know, I got confused. I apologize. I thought, because if they're the 6th seed, they would be facing the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's the thing I've been thinking about because they've been sitting at 6 for a long time. But if it ended today,
yes,
it would
be all
right. If
they're the 4th seed, they'd be playing San Diego.
Oh yeah, great, the Padres.
Well, let's go! Come on, man. They went out there and they played well against the Padres. They should have taken 3 out of 4 the last time they played. But
yeah, 2022 is a different story.
It's right now. It's focusing on the Phillies. It's 1 pitch, 1 inning, 1 game.
Yeah,
SOB. And you know, listen, this is what we all wanted. This is what we were looking forward to. We were looking forward to a September where both baseball teams gave us something to root for. And, you know, the Yankees clinched their spot into the World Series. I mean, into the playoffs. And by the way, Yankees right now are the number 1 seed in the American League. So after all of this freaking nonsense all year long, you don't have the right to put the team together. You can't do this. Brian Cashman sucks.
Well,
last night will be the Anthony Rizzo game. Last night was the Julio Rodriguez game because it ended on like one of the most bizarre plays you will ever see. And if you didn't stay up and watch it last night, I saw it last night.
You saw it live?
I saw it with one eye open last night.
Oh, my God. You saw that live?
Yes. And I was like, holy crap, I've never seen that before.
All right.
It was the bizarre play of the night.
Right. Yeah. So, all right. A couple of things because now you're just you're giving us everything from staying up, and we will get to.
I can't help it.
We will get to that game.
I'm jacked up. I got a little 5-hour energy.
Right,
in me.
I know.
I'm drinking a little coffee right
it.
Now. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Two of the weirdest plays.
I am so pumped up because we got football tonight. The Mets and the Yankees are winning. It doesn't get much better than this. And you know what? Take stock in it, Gio.
Take stock. I'm taking stock.
You know why you need to take stock? Because this is like a happy Thursday.
It is. Well, hopefully.
And tomorrow's a feel-good Friday, and it better be a feel-good Friday.
I mean,
a really feel-good Friday.
Yeah, we cannot be coming in here talking about the Jets losing to the Patriots. I don't think that we will. But, yeah, you're right. It should be a really big feel-good Friday. So what do you make about this? Because I do think it's interesting that it's gotten all the way to the players. It's one thing if we're having a discussion about it, or BT and Sal are talking to Howie Rose about it yesterday with the attendance, and how come you haven't seen more of a crowd at Citi Field down the stretch because they're in this race. And then you get Brandon Nimmo after the game begging fans to come to the ballpark. Now, I do think that you're going to see much bigger crowds over the weekend for a number of reasons. I mean, 1, it's the weekend. 2, it's the Philadelphia Phillies. 3, now you got Brandon Nimmo asking for fans to show up. But, I mean, I don't... I want to defend the Met fan a little bit in this regard because I think they're getting crushed for not coming to these games.
No, why are we talking about things that really, I mean, at the end
because
of the day.
Because Brandon Nimmo talked about it yesterday.
Brandon wants to play. I understand from a player's perspective.
All right, so let's talk about the Julio Rodriguez bat thing. Go for it. Let's talk about that. That was so interesting.
Look.
Let's talk about that.
I'm want to talk about what you want to talk about.
No, you don't. You said, why are we talking about it?
No, but no, I'm just saying that's a distraction. We don't need distractions right now.
Okay.
What we need is focus.
All right.
And we need to be supremely focused on the task at hand, which is these games against the Phillies, which I think are going to be well attended. I really do. You know why? Because this is a playoff push. This is what we all were hoping for. This is one of our biggest rivals. They are the number one seed right now, or not the number one seed, but the number one in the NL East. And I'm just telling you right now is the moment in time for us Met fans to support the team. So I'm with Brandon Nimmo, but I think it's distracting. Maybe it's something for us as the fans to talk about. But I just think that you'll see a good crowd this weekend in these four games.
Yeah, so what I was going to say was that I wanted to defend the Met fan a little bit because they got crushed in 2022. They got crushed last year. The offseason wasn't exciting, and people weren't buying tickets ahead of time to see the Washington Nationals during the week. They just weren't doing that. So you would think, all right, you're going to get a walk-up. Maybe you're going to get a lot of people because they're in the pennant race. No, they weren't doing that. They're waiting. But to act as if they're not going to show up for the Phillies series or they're not going to show up for the playoffs is an extrapolation that's not going to happen. The Met fan is going to show up. They're going to be there. Everything's going to be all right. And then Brandon.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Nimmo is going to feel like he did it because he's going to look up into the crowd and at these games against the Phillies and be like, man, you know, I told them to come out and they came out. They're probably already sold out. The probably crowd is already going to be big. But I was annoyed yesterday hearing some of this, like the Met fan doesn't care about the team right now because they're not going to the games, that's a lie.
We care.
We're not going
to the games, but we care.
Right. I mean, you can care not want to go to Citi Field to watch the Mets and the Nationals on a Wednesday night after your kids went back to school, right? I mean, it's just that to me in 2024, it doesn't mean that you don't care about your team if the building isn't completely filled. That's all I was trying to say was that the Met fan cares and don't look at the attendance numbers against the Nationals on a Wednesday in September when nobody expected this team to be good and say that the Met fan's not into the team.
The
it's
only
nonsense.
Thing that will impact tonight's game will be the Thursday night game between the Jets and the Patriots. There will be Met Jet fans and they're going to go, the football fan's going to go to see the football game and they'll probably give their tickets away or not use them or whatever. But that will have an impact on tonight's attendance, most likely. But then the weekend, it's wide open, pretty much. And they play Sunday night. So, you know, the Jets would have already played. The Giants would have already played. I would think Sunday night would be a huge crowd, assuming that that game is going to mean something, and most likely it will. And I think that the weekend's going to be fine. I really do. I mean, it's just, you know, I understand what Brandon Nimmo's saying, and I appreciate what he's saying because he wants a raucous home crowd. He wants the players to feed off the energy of the crowd, and I would want the same thing. So I'm good with all of it. I'm happy. I wake up this morning after getting about 3 hours of sleep. I just, I'm giddy. I mean, like, because we got a lot of good things going on right now.
Yeah, we do, and it's going to get better. I mean, that's the thing, is you feel like it's going to get better. Because the Mets are hot again, they're hitting again, and you hope Lindor comes back. So that's great if you can get him back. These guys are inspired. The Yankees are playing better. They clinch a playoff spot. They have an opportunity now as the Baltimore Orioles are sliding and slipping and sliding to win the division even earlier than they expected. So you expect these things. You expect the Mets to continue to roll, the Yankees to continue the roll, and with the schedule with the Jets as it starts tonight, you expect them to roll. And to be 6-1, 5-1, and get off to a much better start than they have in a very long time.
Did you see who beat the Orioles last night?
Yes, of course I saw who beat the Orioles last
night. Michael Conforto.
Yep.
A little home run.
Yeah, a little blast from the past, helping out the New York Yankees.
I mean, Yankees are rolling right now, man. They are rolling.
Yeah.
And, you know, they only had 3 hits last night, but they're getting great pitching.
Yeah, I mean, want to talk about a bizarre series. You're right. The two things that you'd never saw before in your life is a guy getting thrown out at home with the bases loaded and a 3-0 count, and then last night a guy getting thrown out at third because he thought a play was dead when a bat flies over his head and he doesn't get back to the base.
Give Austin bizarre. Wells and Jazz Chisholm a lot of credit for being aware.
Well, yeah, I mean.
And what's going on?
But do you give them credit for knowing the rules, or do you slam Rodriguez for not knowing the rules?
Well, I just say, you know what? This is fundamental baseball, and the Yankees executed the right way. And the Mariners' young player, Julio Rodriguez, had a brain cramp. He had a Will Levis.
You know what it reminded me of? You know, we talk about Stephen Waldron, who.
I mean, you talk about overreacting.
Right.
What's he doing? What are you doing there, kid? The bat didn't hit you.
Like when Stephen Waldron would mark his ball on the green and then walk away really far unnecessarily. That's what I thought of Julio. That's what I thought of Julio Rodriguez. Like he went, like that bat came close to him, but he really like he almost went into the dugout. Like, where are you going, man?
Somebody better remind him that the play is live. And, you know, and Austin Wells was great. He was Johnny on the spot. And here's the thing about the Yankees. They can win a game where they only have 3 hits.
Yeah. But that, which is something they have not done in the postseason when they've bowed out early.
Play good, solid defense, get good pitching, and then timely plays like that. That's winning baseball, G.
It is winning baseball. Timely plays,
and you gotta love it.
Who is the third base coach for the Seattle Mariners? Because that guy, if you want, third base coaches very rarely get opportunities to impact games. It's usually the windmill, let's go, or the stop. Well, you know, that's all they do.
That guy was standing over there, and he saw two of the most horrific plays.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Seattle Mariner history, Al.
Oh, it's Manny Acta.
Manny Acta, remember him?
Of course.
Met coach.
Right, and then he went to the Nationals to manage them. So this is a couple of really bad days for Manny Acta.
What happened? Where was Manny Acta on that play? Now that I think of it.
I mean, he starts, he just like, he's watching Julio Rodriguez go away. And then he's finally like, oh, get back. I think he wasn't even thinking either, because in the initial reaction, he wasn't yelling. So he's just standing there. I mean, when you are a third base coach, you got to know the rules, don't you? Don't you start yelling at your player? Where the hell are you going?
I'm Razor Shines, your third base coach of life.
Love Razor Shine.
Yeah, this was a dropped ball opportunity here for Manny Acta. He could have stopped, what's his face the other night, who I already forgot his name. Was it Rojas? I forget. From stealing home. What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing?
And you could have stopped Rodriguez last night or got him back to the base, and you blew it. But so the Yankees, they have the champagne last night. They're going to do the champagne again when they win the division. Hopefully champagne after the ALDS and the champagne after the ALCS and the champagne and the champagne and the champagne.
They're going to the World Series. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say
yeah,
that. Well, and by the way, you know, I stood tall all through July and August with the same sentiment.
About the Yankees,
about the Yankees. So I don't want to hear any, like, you know, oh, now all of a sudden you're a bandwagon guy.
Well,
I'm not. I am not. I have been, you know, Juan Soto and Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Judge are, like, going to take this team to the World Series. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah, a lot of Yankee fans, when you've been saying that throughout July and August and the summer and into the fall and all of that, you know, would say you're doing that to try to jinx them. You're being passive aggressive with them. And
that's just
not the case. You just believe in this team.
You know, for 18 years, I've sat here and I've called it like I've seen it.
Don't be a Yankee bitch.
Oh, shut up.
I mean, he's just
Yankee bitch.
I mean, they got the best record in the American League.
I mean, come on.
It's not like you're not pandering to them. You're just calling it the way you see it. It's a good team.
Last night will be known as the Rizzo game.
Yeah, sit on my face, Anthony Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we get him involved now. I mean, my goodness.
And where's DJ LeMahieu when you need him? I'm not trolling anybody. I've firmly believed because of those two players in particular, and you know, and there's been some timely plays and timely hit him. They're getting good starting pitching. Their relief pitching, you know, has been okay. As far as a bona fide closer, yeah, they don't really have one, but they need to do what the Dodgers do. You got to move guys in and out of there, and you got to play matchups. And I think Aaron Boone's tried to do that, and it's been a little rough for a couple players, but I think overall it has kind of settled down now a little bit.
Well, if anything holds them back, because I do think they're going to hit in the postseason this year, if anything holds them back, it's going to be the bullpen. Because I think
their bullpen's been good.
I know.
I mean, again, I know they gave up a home run last night, but I think their bullpen is kind of getting solidified, and they're moving guys around, which I like, which is what they should have been doing, which is what the Dodgers have been doing all year long.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's just, I think that most Yankee fans, if they have any bit of anxiousness about this team, it's going to be that. I mean, I think you've got the starting pitching in a place where you're comfortable. And you know that the lineup has got to hit if those guys are healthy. Now you got Judge back on track. It's just, you know, in these critical moments in these games against good teams, what one of those guys, when those bullpen doors open, are you going to be like, you know what, all right, this is our guy's going to shut this thing down.
You know, and what I think about, you remember when the Mets went out to Seattle and they got swept?
Yeah, it was brutal. There was three of the worst games ever played this season.
Yes.
It was awful. Yeah.
And now look at them. And look at what the Yankees are doing in Seattle. And Seattle's falling out of contention.
Yeah. Screw the Mariners. And screw you, Manny Acta. Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski leaving ESPN as the premier basketball insider to go be the general manager of the St. Bonaventure Athletic Department. So he is someone who is going to help out with the nil deals and figure out all of that for a program at St. Bonaventure. So, yeah, I mean, it was definitely shocking. And in some of the reporting that Andrew Marchand did and others, you know, ESPN bosses were surprised at this. And then in the article, which I had read, he was making $20 million a year to do that job. Like he's turning down, maybe not $20 million a year. He's turning down $20 million.
Yeah, I looked into this. It's $7 million a year, 3-year deal.
Okay, right.
Is what he has.
So I apologize. So he's turning down another deal that would pay him a total of $20 million to go and do this. So I respect it. If he doesn't want to do this anymore, he's got to be on his phone all the time. It's a pressurized job, you know, all of those things. But it's definitely noteworthy that someone like that at the top of his game, like he is the guy, would leave to go and do something like this. It was stunning.
Did he go to St. Bonaventure?
He did, yeah.
All right, so this would be like Adam Schefter leaving to go back to Michigan and becoming the GM for the football program.
Yeah, it really would be.
That's, you know, and I'm sure Adam does a little bit bigger number than Adrian does because of the popularity of football.
Sure.
And because of where Adam is in terms of his career and everything that he has accomplished. So, yeah, I mean, it was a little shocking. There's no question about it. But this is a thing now in college sports, especially with the big football programs and big basketball programs. Now, what is a little bit shocking, St. Bonnie's is not that big
Yeah.
when you think about
right,
it.
Right,
so
right.
maybe this is just a first love of his, an opportunity to do something that he really wants to do. And you're right. Maybe it's the pressurized nature of his job and always talking to agents and owners and players. And maybe he's just tired of it. And maybe he wants to do something special at St. Bonnie's.
Yeah, and I do respect that for choosing happiness over the money, because there's no way that St. Bonaventure is paying him $7 million a year, and he must have been miserable.
Let's say Speedy Claxton calls you up and says, hey, we need a GM for the basketball program. You doing it?
Well, for the amount of money that... well, like, okay, well, first off, you got to give me...
Let's just say they double your salary, because you're not making $21
million. No, unfortunately not.
No, you're not. I mean, but let's say they double your salary and they offer you the opportunity to become the GM of Hofstra basketball.
No.
But that's not your wheelhouse.
I wouldn't be happy. It's the opposite of Adrian Wojnarowski.
How about if they paid you double and you went and became the dean of journalism at Hofstra?
It would be the exact opposite. So, like, Adrian Wojnarowski is taking less money to make him do, you know, well, actually, it's sort of the same. Taking less money to do something that's going to make him happier and leaving a big salary behind.
Look at that.
So, like, this job makes me happier than any other job. So,
when I see you standing out on the court in the Hofstra blue and yellow, yeah. I see a guy that looks like he could be in charge. Just standing there, large and in charge.
Damn right.
You're in the line. You're shaking hands.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look like you could be the GM of Hofstra basketball.
Yeah, I'm not. I would not. I as much as I love Hofstra basketball and Hofstra and Speedy and Steven Gorchoff over there and everybody does an amazing job, I don't think I would leave this job to be the GM of Hofstra basketball.
How many people are a part of that coaching staff? It's like 100 people over there.
Yeah, and I was one of them that day.
More people on the coaching staff than there were in the stands.
No, that's not fair. There was a good crowd that night.
That's a big staff.
Yeah, it's a big staff. You know what?
See, I'd want a small staff. I don't want a big staff.
Yeah, I don't know
I want a small staff.
Yeah, I don't know why there were so many coaches there. There's a lot of coaches. And it was funny. Whoever they played that night, I forget who they played that night. I can't see up there. But
Greg Giannotti, GM, Hofstra basketball.
Their coach was like, how many coaches do you have on this team?
That's what I'm saying.
Towson is who they played? Yeah, okay. Yes.
Maryland, outside of Baltimore.
Yeah, so that's who they played that day. So, yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of staff, we should wish Allie a happy 30th birthday.
Right.
It's her birthday today.
Our director of makeup relations.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, you can't just say makeup person, right? Can you? What would you call her? The GM of facial beauty?
I think it's makeup artist.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. She's an artist.
Cosmetic engineer.
Cosmetic engineer. Yes, that's a good one.
Did you guys wish her a happy birthday? You did, Al?
I did, yes.
Yeah. How about you, Eddie? I know you hate birthdays, so probably not.
I kind of just smiled, but I do that every morning.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. 30. It's amazing.
Oof.
Yeah. She says she's not bothered by turning 30 and getting out of her 20s. And I said, yeah, I didn't. 30 didn't bother me. 40 bothered me, though. It actually didn't. I didn't think it would. But I said when I hit 40, I was like, man, I'm halfway to 80.
You don't know. Okay. Well, I'm a little bit closer than you are, but none of that bothered me.
Yeah.
I don't really care. No. Just live every day as it comes.
Yeah, I mean, that's great that you were able to do that. And I got over it. And like 41 and 42 didn't bother me. But 40, it bothered me. And I didn't think it would. But then one day I was like, damn, this is like half your life could be over.
Man, you got gout.
And I got gout that I can't get rid of.
Oof.
It's amazing.
Did you get your medicine?
I did, and it's slowly getting better, but not fast enough. So I did. I got it from a man named King George, actually.
King George.
Yeah, so I got an appointment with a rheumatologist, but I needed like immediate help.
Relief. You needed immediate relief.
And King George was able to. He's a gout sufferer. He owned the Bargain Bilge in Patchogue. He became a friend, and he heard me talk about it. He goes, "Hey, I got some extra prednisone over at the Kingdom." So I went over to King George's Kingdom and I got his prednisone. And you think I'm lying about this?
I don't think this is all true. But I don't necessarily know that you should be talking about it, but that's
why.
Okay.
But it's prednisone. It's not. I'm not. I'm not making
pharmaceuticals.
Who cares? It's fine. What, nobody what, is someone going to come in here and arrest
me?
I
will say this. Nobody cares about anything anymore. It doesn't seem like, but so.
So wait, so this, that's a price. So you think someone's going to, because someone gave me prednisone, that's going to be an issue on the air? Like, honestly.
I mean, you got to have a.
I made an appointment for a rheumatologist. He helped me out. Right. Yeah, and I feel better. That's all.
You just need a script for that. That's all.
Oh God.
And you know, like, Mr. I like to live. You know, yeah. Well,
I mean, who cares? It doesn't matter.
I think I am like the only one.
Somebody going to come in here and arrest me because I got prednisone from King George?
I have to say, sometimes I do think I'm like, I'm the only one going by the rules.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have a King George in my life.
Would weed help you or no?
What?
Would a weed gummy help the pain or no?
No, I don't know. I can't take those things. I told you that before. Whatever, they do not react well with my body.
When he puts stuff in his body, we all know what happens.
It's just a...
Something happens to him. It gets a little bit crazy. Yeah, the whole rigor mortis situation at the Gansevoort Hotel.
Yeah.
You had a low dose?
I don't know. I am off.
Let's do it right now. Let's have one right now.
After that, after my last experience with that, like I told you in Greenport, I'm never again. Never again. It's just not for me.
Yeah, he was hallucinating in Greenport.
Right. I was.
He has a hard time with stuff like that.
Well, I do too. I mean,
yeah, he does too. By the way, Eddie one time.
A gas station boner pill and rigor mortis set in.
Just one time Eddie gave me an indomethacin when I had issues with gout. Is that a problem too?
Hey, listen, I don't want to share your pharmaceuticals. Hey, that's up to you, I guess. Yeah, nobody seems to care.
Yeah, they've got DEA Boomer over here, worried that I'm getting prednisone from a friend who's helping me out.
Put your both in the lockup.
I did that multiple times.
Yeah, I know. Better get the cuffs out. Get the cuffs out. Sharing pharmaceuticals to help out a friend.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.